You mentioned the issue about bevacizumab and regulatory approval. Assuming it were approved, ideally, how would you like to utilize it, and sort of where would it fit in the non-protocol algorithm?
You know, assuming it gets regulatory approval, I think that using it in a frontline setting, especially in good prognosis patients, makes a lot of sense. And I guess my recommendation would be, if one were to practice evidence-based medicine, one should do that in combination with interferon, because that's what the phase 3 data tells us.
And is that sort of what you think you'd want to do in a clinical setting, assuming you had that leeway, or can maybe using Bev alone?
I would probably try to use the combination. I think that the patients in whom this has been studied best are patients who are good prognosis, who can tolerate the doses of interferon that were used in this study.
How would you compare quality of life, side effects, tolerability, et cetera, of using sunitinib or sorafenib compared to bevacizumab monotherapy?
You know, I think that the toxicities of sunitinib and sorafenib are certainly broader than the toxicities of bevacizumab, at least in the sense that these tyrosine kinase inhibitors also give some skin and GI toxicities. In regards to which one is better or worse in regards to the patient, it depends a lot. Certainly, there are patients who have more difficulty with some of these skin and bowel toxicities from the tyrosine kinase inhibitors. But many of the patients, certainly just many of the patients that we have treated, have tolerated these treatments often for long periods of time.